The president of Riverkeeper, an environmental group based in New York's Hudson Valley, is stepping down next year. This comes as Riverkeeper has a new strategic plan in place, refocusing its mission. I spoke with Hudson Riverkeeper Paul Gallet. You are stepping down from your role as president of Riverkeeper after 11 years, it will be next year?
Yeah, I'm going to be with Riverkeeper until June 2021, but organizations need new leadership on a regular basis to keep growing and renewing themselves, and I hope to find new opportunities to grow and renew myself.
And this came after getting together the new strategic plan, which has some changes in itself. So not only are we seeing a change at the top at Riverkeeper, but there's also kind of a change in mission, core values for the first time. Maybe you could go into detail on those.
Sure. Riverkeeper's new strategic plan is both a recommitment to the ideals that have historically driven the organization, but also a reflection of the changes in the Hudson River watershed since our group was founded as the Hudson River Fishermen's Association in 1966. For example, new strategic plan has Riverkeeper seeking to build new local partnerships and create solutions to the risks our communities and shorelines face from rising sea levels and storm surges. Not something we were thinking about in 1966. With Indian Point closing for good in April, Riverkeeper will fight against new fossil fuel power plants and support renewable energy projects that can help save our climate. And our commitment to habitat restoration, better fisheries policy, and controlling invasive species is growing to help reverse generations of biodiversity losses. Finally, we're going to fight to ensure that our water systems get the reinvestment they deserve. Since in the 1980s and all the way through 5 years ago, we stopped investing in our water infrastructure, and New York is now a leader in that kind of investment, and that's got to continue.
What about this focus on, you know, PFAS and new things in our water? I mean, that's kind of new in the past couple of years about what we're looking for in terms of water protection and protecting species from that as well.
In this country, we only regulate 70 or so toxic chemicals at the national level with any degree of specificity. And the notion of emerging contaminants of concern is something that, again, New York has been something of a leader on, passing in 2017 the Emerging Contaminants Protection Act, the creation of new standards for maximum concentrations of PFAS chemicals and 1,4-dioxane. This has got to grow. This commitment to dealing with emerging contaminants is essential if we're going to have environmental health and a safe community going forward. So that's one of the reasons why Riverkeeper's new strategic plan centers on our first ever statement of core values, which include a reduction of environmental harms, especially for disproportionately impacted communities like Newburgh, like Hoosick Falls, and also for our decimated fish and wildlife population.
What stands out for you after all your time at Riverkeeper?
What stands out for me is that my goal for at least the last 5 years, as I entered the second half of my tenure, and I never envisioned staying more than a decade, was to make sure that Riverkeeper would be in good hands when I left. Our staff, which drives all our success, is amazing. Our volunteer leadership has grown significantly in size and wisdom and engagement. And our community ties are growing stronger and deeper every day, which is another reason why I'm confident that Riverkeeper is going to be ready to meet the challenges that lie ahead.
Well, sure, but you have to give yourself credit. I mean, your staff was doubled under your leadership, and you know, this is a time when nonprofits in general have a lot of trouble. How is Riverkeeper able to be as it is and still tied with some famous names, but really standing on its own with you and the staff? How are you able to do this at a time when other nonprofits are struggling?
It's a team effort. I can't overemphasize that. How is Riverkeeper holding its own? And it's not like we're doing all that great. We've got enough money to keep going, but we're still that, you know, organization that has to kick and scratch and fight for every dollar. So we haven't lost that urgency. And frankly, having that urgency is one of the reasons why we have success. But the biggest reason we have success is that when we engage with a volunteer or a donor or an organizational partner, it's never about Riverkeeper per se. It's about the work. It's about their goals. It's about shared interests. And it's about trying to be effective listeners and then effective actors. So that's the formula. You've got to be outwardly focused, and you've got to have a sort of an attempt to be part of a coalition, always being your first tool in your toolkit.
Last question. How would you describe the state of the Hudson River today as opposed to when you became president?
Well, as Indian Point closes, we're going to have 1 billion more fish, eggs, and larvae every year that aren't destroyed by that plant. We don't have an increase in crude oil barges and tankers, which we were threatened with. We've got better plans for preventing and dealing with oil spills if they happen, and we haven't had major oil spills. So to some degree, the improvement for the river is measured by our hoped-for increased biodiversity, which, of course, is also fostered by our effort to take down those old, unneeded dams that are blocking fish passage and habitat, but also the bad things we've been able to keep from happening. And, you know, you need the eternal vigilance, as Thomas Jefferson said. And I think Riverkeeper is ready to play that role.
With Gallet at the helm starting in 2010, Ossining-based Riverkeeper initiated its annual sweep in 2012, a day of service for the Hudson River. Over 9 years, the Riverkeeper sweep has grown considerably, with thousands of volunteers cleaning shorelines, planting trees, and removing invasive plants in their communities, from the Adirondacks to Flushing Bay. Some 276 tons of trash have been removed from the Hudson and its tributaries since the sweep's inception. Reporting from WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau on the campus of Vassar College, I'm Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn.